broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans, Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby, James Edwards, all live from the Republican National Convention right here in Cleveland, Ohio. And you know what? I used to listen to some old rock and roll DJs as a kid. And one of the DJs used to say, all the way live. And I thought, how do you be all the way live as opposed to partially live? Now that I get so dang tired from 4 days of tearing it up, running around every day, I get how it can be partially alive. But all the way live means you're banging on all 12 cylinders. That's what's going on today, ladies and gentlemen, live. What is it, the 21st of July, ladies and gentlemen? All right, 21st of July in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is hour one of two, and our goal, incredibly simple, rock and roll stays the same every day. That is to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. It's incredibly simple. The supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, is our blueprint. We believe the checks and balances, absolutely brilliant. And the solution to the problems we face today, that's why we don't need a revolution. I'm going to say it again publicly in front of all the mainstream press. We don't need a revolution, but a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth, no doubt, should be our quest. Welcome to the broadcast, James Edwards.
Sam, what was that we were talking about being alive or partially alive? I feel about half past dead, as the old song goes.
You know, it's funny, this DJ used to say that. He's like, we're all the way live from so and such and such. I'm like, how do you be all the way live? Now that I get so tired sometimes, I kind of wonder, I feel half alive sometimes.
Well, I'll tell you, man. What we have to look forward to after we get home next week will be worth the price of admission.
Yeah, you know what it reminds me of? I want some Weston relaxation.
It was everything I could do, ladies and gentlemen, to put one foot in front of the other. This morning, I just didn't think I would be able to get out of bed.
I'm telling you, folks, James Edwards could hardly talk.
No, I couldn't talk. I thought there was a disconnect between my brain and what I was trying to say. It was an uncanny experience. But as I said a couple of days ago when I was on the broadcast, I got in here at 3 a.m. on Tuesday morning. Long story short, I've slept as much this week as a normal person would in any given night. But look, we're running on pure adrenaline here. We've been here for an absolutely historic event. To be in that arena when Donald Trump was confirmed as the nominee of the Republican Party, when he received more than enough delegates to clinch the nomination officially, he's no longer the presumptive nominee. To be here at the center of the political universe, to be here on Media Row, it's been a great experience, and one that this audience and the audience of this network and its related shows deserve.
And I kind of think it's neat to be able to go into the belly of the beast, walk right into the Republican Party, and tell them when we think they're wrong. You know what? That's part of the press as well, James.
Well, that's right. And, of course, there is an oppression with free and independent networks such as this, unless you are a sociopath, unless you are a support group of the regime, unless you've been sanctioned by political correctness, you ought not have a voice or a commentary that is put on par with theirs. And certainly by being here, we are on par as far as that goes, but certainly more legitimate in terms of the content and the way that we present the issues. As I said the day before yesterday, we are the people's champions, and the people deserve to have a voice, and we are that voice here.
You got to talk more on your mic, James, to get it fired up there, buddy.
I'll actually
turn you up a little bit, too, because I know you're so tired. I'll help you right there. All right, we got the, you know, who let the dogs out, James, is what I'm kind of saying. Woo. Who let the dogs out, right? Everywhere we go, the mainstream press loves to just lie and deceive and manipulate and pervert. And they have absolutely, in my opinion, every time they do something horrible, you think, how can they outdo themselves? How can they make it worse? They've done it, James. They've absolutely done it.
Well, we found, I'll let you, this is your show, and I'll let you have the honor of filling your audience in on a news story that we found last night, but we're always getting the Google News updates when we're in the news, which is
all
pretty much every week. But yesterday was a pretty interesting
episode. What do they call these guys? Episode. Talking points memo?
That's right.
Is that who these people are?
That's who they say.
And
that.
They take the talking points from the regime. It's obvious. And that's why they're called talking points. They don't have the ability to have commentary on the fly from a knowledge and a background of history and proper politics and understanding of morality and integrity. They can't speak from the hip as we do. Nevertheless, they can certainly write very wordsmithed attack pieces, which they've done against me and James and Liberty News Radio and Liberty Roundtable and the political cesspool. They do it all because they have nothing else to say about the truth. But I tell you, Talking Points Memo, I want somebody to go on the prowl and find these people here today. I'd like to have a polite discussion about their intellectual dishonesty. They're prostitutes. They're dishonest. And we're going to break down this piece. It relates to a guest we had on the show yesterday. The show's name is what? Al
Baldassaro.
Okay, Al Baldassaro was a great guest yesterday. Did a nice job. He's former military. He's a veteran. He now serves in the Trump, on one of the Trump committees relating to veteran affairs. He's a co-chair there. He's also, what, a congressman from New Hampshire?
I believe he's a state representative, if I'm not mistaken, I could be on that.
A state rep from New Hampshire, and it was a great interview. However, he said something that he probably should not have said, and I kind of walked back the statement as he did. He basically said that he thinks that Hillary should be basically face the firing squad for treason. And then I walked that back and said, well, listen, we need to follow the rule of law. We need to have Congress hold Hillary in contempt. Let's start there. Let's empower a grand jury. Let's give them subpoena power to truly investigate. Let's get to the bottom of it and create accountability. Now, I still stand by those statements that I made. I walked back his statement a little bit, but I also understand that treason is no laughing matter. And you know what? Many times it does have the penalty of death. I just think we got to make it very clear when we say things like that of what we're talking about. And I guarantee Al did not mean some kind of vigilante, go off the rails, something. Okay, this guy's a very solid military vet, servant of the people, nice guy, just a gentleman. However, they're going to manipulate anything that's said, take it out of context, and that's exactly what they did, James. Why don't you just start kind of with the article top down, and let's talk about their dishonesty.
Well, first of all, I'll tell you this. I have the article pulled up now. It took me a minute to find it because I did a Google News search for Sam Bushman, Al Baldassaro, and couldn't find anything.
They didn't find it because they didn't put my name in there.
But I found it when I Googled James Edwards, Al Baldassaro, even though I didn't have anything to do with that interview and shouldn't be part of this particular story at all.
Let's focus on that dishonesty there. Number one, James was not part of the interview. Number two, it was not James's radio show. James had nothing to do with this yesterday event at all. And I'm not trying to take James out of it, but I'm just saying James had nothing to do with my show, the guest I had, or the conversation we had. Nothing. But yet James Edwards' name comes up related to the article, and mine does not. Now, I'm not really interested in my name being prominent. That isn't the point. The point is, why is that done? Because they want maximum manipulation to promote their racist, divisionary, psychotic agenda, James. That's why.
You want me to start reading?
Please. Yes, sir.
The Secret Service. Well, here is the headline, first of all, from talkingpointsmemo.com. Secret Service investigating Trump advisor who said Hillary Clinton should be shot. The Secret Service said Wednesday it would conduct the appropriate investigation after an advisor to Donald Trump said Hillary Clinton should be shot for treason.
Now, let me stop you there, though. He said should face the firing squad. Now, there's a difference between being shot and facing the firing squad, too, James, if you want to be honest with yourself. Being shot kind of suggests a vigilante, some sniper should take her out or something crazy. It's not at all what was said. Face the firing squad would suggest that we've gone through proper military channels, and that this needs to be done because of a treasonous act. I'm not here to even defend Al's comments because I said I think they were ill-advised, and I walked them back even on the air. But the two aren't the same, are they, James?
Well, certainly shooting someone sight seen is different than going through whatever process one would have to navigate before being lined up in front of a firing squad.
So anyway, all I'm telling you is they're even manipulating that as if there's some vigilante from the Republicans coming on grassroots. It's bogus.
The U.S. Secret Service is aware of this matter and will conduct the appropriate investigation, Secret Service spokesman Sean Holtzclaw said in an emailed statement. New Hampshire State Rep. Al Baldassaro, who is a delegate for Trump and advises the businessman on veterans issues, said in a Tuesday radio interview that Clinton should face a firing squad over the Benghazi terror attacks.
Now, let me stop you there. They mentioned the Tuesday interview in which it was said first, but they don't mention the host. They don't mention the show. They basically completely give that other talk show a complete pass. It would be interesting to know what other talk show. And it would be even more interesting to know how the host handled that. Did they handle it as gracefully or as appropriately as I did? But none of that's mentioned, not a word. Now they go into their manipulated, perverted attack, James.
The whole thing disgusts me. Baldassaro said Hillary Clinton should be put in the firing line and shot for treason. Baldassaro again repeated his line Wednesday during an interview with the conservative radio show Liberty Roundtable that was broadcast from the Republican National Convention.
Now, let me stop you there. He did not say that line the way they're saying it either. He said she should face the firing squad. He never said she should be shot. Okay, the wording is manipulated to create maximum impact, James.
But here is where the plot thickens. The Trump campaign, it goes from that. Well, all right, we'll leave them hanging and give them the teaser, and it gets really wild after that as far as the story is concerned.
Live from the Republican convention, ladies and gentlemen, Kirk Cosby, Sam Bushman, James Edwards, delighted to be here, ready to rock and roll for the last day of the convention from Cleveland, Ohio.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we ain't living large, but we're certainly in charge. We're sitting right in the middle of the Republican convention atop the radio row, ladies and gentlemen, Cleveland, Ohio. And we're talking about this Talking Points memo piece, which absolutely is intellectually dishonest. This is why the mainstream prostitutes have just really got to be challenged at every turn. They're just not honest. So they say this Al Baldassaro, who was on the show with us yesterday, talked about the firing squad and Hillary needs to be, accountable for her actions. Well, then they mentioned the previous show that it was done on Tuesday, and then it was reiterated on Liberty Roundtable. But now it even gets worse because they don't acknowledge my name. They don't acknowledge that I walked back his comments. In other words, I went, whoa, wait a minute. Hold on. We got to look at the rule of law here. That's what I said. I didn't kick him off the air. I didn't melt down. I didn't freak. But I did appropriately calibrate the discussion where it needed to go, in my opinion. But then they get really crazy as they string together the most manipulated piece I have ever seen. James?
All right. So as you mentioned, Sam, this article is about this Trump advisor making the comments that Hillary Clinton should face the firing squad for treason. They make mention that he was on your show yesterday for an interview where he repeated a similar line. And then it immediately pivots to the Trump campaign was forced to walk back an interview Donald Trump Jr. gave on that same radio show earlier this year.
Now, let me stop you there. You can't walk back the interview. It exists. It was on March the 1st, Super Tuesday. It's in the Liberty Roundtable archives at libertyroundtable.com. And I stand by that interview 1,000%, James. They can't walk that back. Even though they can fall prey to the mainstream press and be deceived and manipulated, the facts remain the same. It was an incredible interview. And if you don't believe me, Donald Trump Jr. loved every bit of what we said. He was yes, 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 yes. He made points. He stayed longer. No way can he really even be honest with himself when he disavows that interview. He was agreeing with every bit of it. You go listen to it, and there's no way that he was hesitant in any way about our discussions.
That's right. He's stayed longer than he was scheduled for. It was the morning of Super Tuesday. To that point, the most important day of the campaign. He agreed with everything we said and doubled down. And it was a great interview, and we appreciated it.
I just think the mainstream press is mad because he spent time with us on Super Tuesday rather than them. That's all.
Well, and then, of course, they spread a whole lot of lies, and that was a big, big, big story back in March. And unfortunately, Trump Jr. was rattled by it. But you know what? I'll tell you this. I was thoroughly impressed by his speech. I think he's a good guy.
I agree. I completely
agree.
No
hard feelings. It's nothing personal.
I agree.
Trump Jr. was interviewed by phone by guest James Edwards. See, now I have nothing to do with this story about Baldessaro, but here about half of the article is about this interview that we did in March, which
well,
is not germane,
this.
Not germane to this piece.
It's not germane to this piece, but it's not even true, though. James Edwards did not interview by phone. See, that smacks of that somehow I put James on to interview Trump Jr., and Trump didn't know who he was dealing with, and it was some fly-by-night, weird, confusing, try-to-catch, you know, Donald Trump Jr. in a trap deception.
Well, look.
That's not at all what happened.
What happened was
I interviewed Donald Trump, and I had James Edwards and Kirk Cosby co-host, and we all three interviewed Donald Trump Jr., and Donald Trump Jr. knew every bit of that. You listen to the interview, we all identify ourselves, there's no games here. We clearly explain the email, you know, line that happened to get the interview and how it all went down, and there's no dishonesty on our part whatsoever, and the mainstream press just manipulated this story out, and now they're doing it again right here.
Well, and if people aren't familiar, I don't want to rehash all of this because so much time was spent on it by the global press in the spring, but essentially, I reported live, I received press credentials to attend a Donald Trump's stump speech in the Memphis area. Sam Bushman anchored my show that night so I could be live remote, and he was taking care of the side of the studio. The next day, I get an email to James Edwards at thepoliticalcesspool.org asking if I'd be interested in having Donald Trump Jr. on Super Tuesday. Well, I can't do that. My show only airs on Saturday. So I go to Sam, and I say, Sam, would you like to have Donald Trump Jr. on? I can't do it. And he said, yes. He gets it lined up, and he says...
And by the way, I emailed back and said, yes, I would, James. And by the way, hi, guys. I'm Sam Bushman. I syndicate James's show. He only does a weekend show. I do a daily show, but I'd love to do the interview. It'd be great. So then I go back to James and say, James, they asked you to do the interview. Why don't we both do it together?
That's right.
Which we did.
They originally intended to be on the political cesspool, and
correct.
I couldn't do it. Sam was able to pick it up, and I was fine with that. Sam then offered me the invitation to guest host on that particular program, which was certainly an honor and much appreciated. Well, anyway, so this
And we don't even mind, except for in this whole article, trashing my talk show dishonestly. They don't even mention me. They mention James, though.
Well, that's
I don't
right.
mind James getting mentioned, but my problem is, again, who's who in this piece? And the answer is they don't care as long as they manipulate as many different pieces of the pie as they can for their agenda. That's the point.
Well, and here's why I was mentioned, so we'll just get down to that now. I was interviewed by phone by, I guess, James Edwards, a friend to David Duke and a white nationalist who hosts a show syndicated by the Liberty News Radio Network. The campaign said it was unaware of Edwards' beliefs. As I've said so many times, now the press listens to every show I do, and they read my website every day. They have covered me extensively for 12 years, but never more than they have this year. They will know, and I have repeated it time and time and time again, I do not consider myself, I have not ever claimed to be, a so-called white nationalist. I consider myself to be a Christian, a paleoconservative, a family man. Yes, I am concerned with the treatment of European Americans. I am a pro-white advocate, but that is not to say that I'm against anyone else, and certainly That's not the case. But this racist, white supremacist, anti-Semite, it's just ridiculous slurs. But it does make for a juicy headline.
And by the way, that's probably why they attacked Al on this, because I brought this very issue up to him, and he said, that's bogus. They've called me racist many times. I don't even know what Al's nationality is. I think he's Italian. But it's here nor there. The point is, we discussed the intellectual dishonesty, and now they show their true colors. So the article finishes.
Oh, that's right, Sam. And there's not much more we can say about that, except for it's par for the course for the media, and it's regrettable and reprehensible, but it won't stop. But what the good thing is, as much as the media has invested in this anti-Trump narrative, trying to tie him into phantom bad guys and boogeymen and making boogeymen of good, decent family men like us, it's obviously falling flat because he's the Republican nominee as of this week.
Now, what was the last line of the article? There was something weird for the last line that I found kind of fascinating.
The last line was that Trump's campaign spokeswoman said that Baldessaro didn't speak for the campaign. We're incredibly grateful for his support, but we don't agree with his comments.
Now,
that's all they had to say in the first
place.
Why
didn't they say that about us? If they really wanted to separate themselves, why couldn't Donald Trump Jr. have said, listen, you know what? I don't agree with Sam's comments or James's comments or their ideology or their beliefs. But you know what? I'm grateful for their support, and I don't agree with their comments. Why couldn't they have just done that? Why do they have to use the race card and attack us and suggest that we mean harm or ill to people and all this kind of stuff? This is the point that I'm making. I have never done anything violent or divisionary about anyone on the radio, James. I just haven't. You've listened to me plenty, right?
And when
have you seen me intentionally divide and or suggest violence and or any hostility towards anyone? It doesn't happen, James. And they know it, but yet they write that as their last line. And Hope Hicks is even doing it. Hope, shame on you, Hope. You know better. And so why don't you treat me like Al? And I think the campaign should have done. And the only thing I will say is this. Maybe Hope learned from our experience and gave Al the better treatment. If that's the case, it was all worth it, James.
Well, that's right. And we'll see what happens going forward with the Trump campaign. And there is, of course, a great difference between Donald Trump and his surrogates and spokespeople. He can't manage everything that comes out of their mouth. And Donald Trump has been a stand-up guy with a lot
of
these.
But he can roll into the Republican Convention Radio Row and jump on Liberty Roundtable Live and have a chat. He can do that, no problem.
That's right. We were a few feet away from him this week at all of these happenings in the same place at the same time, for sure, as we were in Memphis that night. After being vetted and invited, I might add. So there's no solicitation here, and there's no doing anything under false pretenses. We're asked to come, we come. What do? You say no. But, yeah, Trump has been stand-up, though, with all of these baseless accusations from the reprehensible
press. But you can see
press.
From the other headlines, too. This was a story that directly related to James Edwards and myself, so we brought it up. But I want to bring up this, though. They're now saying the Republicans are divided. Now, between those who want to jail Hillary and those who want to shoot her, that's what the mainstream press is saying. And again, that's completely false. We're on the ground at the Republican convention, and I've never heard anybody really put it that stark. Yes, people say there needs to be accountability, and maybe she needs to go to prison. But I'm not so sure that we're divided. We all agree that Hillary has done something wrong, and there needs to be accountability. We're unified, baby.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. The FBI will spare no expense to acquire and utilize the most sophisticated surveillance technology and the computers necessary to make use of the data harvested by it. When it comes to fulfilling its legal requirement to respond to Freedom of Information Act requests from citizens, however, the Bureau spares every expense and uses the inadequacies of its ancient computer system to justify delays and omissions. Researcher Ryan Shapiro, who makes extensive use of the FOIA process, won a legal ruling earlier this year that the FBI had acted in a fashion fundamentally at odds with the statute by relying on obsolete computers in its archaic automated case support system, a software program that is old enough to consume alcohol. Academic researchers, authors, and citizens motivated by curiosity or public-spiritedness will often conduct internet searches regarding Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and other terrorist groups. Newt Gingrich has proposed making such searches a felony offense and would demand similar charges against Internet service providers who host websites of that kind. In a video produced shortly after the recent mass murder in Nice, France, Gingrich, who at the time was still auditioning for a role as Trump's vice presidential pick, declared that, quote, "Anybody who goes on a website favoring ISIS or Al-Qaeda or other terrorist groups should be charged with a felony and they should go to jail. Any organization which hosts such a website should be engaged in a felony. It should be closed down immediately. Our forces should be used to systematically destroy every internet-based source." For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby, James Edwards, all three live from the Republican National Convention. This is indeed the final day. This half hour is brought to you by thepowermall.com. When you want to do business with the good guys, please think thepowermall.com. Tell them Sam and Kurt sent you. You can also dial at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, thepowermall.com. All right, we'd like to welcome Congressman Rob Bishop for the great state of Utah to Liberty Roundtable Live. Welcome, sir. Uh-oh, we got to flip on his mic. We got to get a switch on for Rob Bishop here. There you go, sir. Welcome.
Well, thank you.
Now, catch
Sorry
me up.
About that.
No, you're fine. Catch me up. There's been a little bit of glitches at the convention. Number one, the Utah delegation got kind of snubbed when they wanted to call for a roll call vote. That's number one. Number two, there was a second snub when I guess the National said that the 40 delegates from Utah were for Trump, and then you guys said, wait a minute, they're for Cruz, and then they kind of reiterated, no, they're for Trump. We tracked that down to an obscure rule that was kind of manipulated and interpreted differently than Mike Lee and others thought it ought to have been. What's your take, sir?
Well, it was a surprise to me as well, and we had to track it down. I guess there are about four states that had the same concept, that either within their statute or within their party bylaws, they said you had to be voting for a declared candidate. Obviously, Trump was the only one who declared here and got some votes in the primary, so the allocation, reallocation, eventually ended with him. Had there been other candidates that were declared candidates or received votes in our primary, then the allocation would have been different. It was a surprise to me, actually. I didn't realize that was there. It's one of those things I think the state of Utah needs to work on to make sure it doesn't happen again in the future.
Well, and the sad part is we understand that it was somehow for 2012 to benefit Mitt Romney is when it was kind of created. Oftentimes we do that and it just backfires, huh?
Well, yeah. I hate to say this, but you're exactly right. You establish the rules before anyone gets in the game, and then you don't change them until the game's over. And I think that's when this game is over, let's look at those rules again.
Now, what about the snub with regards to the roll call vote? Everybody said you guys had a right to a roll call vote. Then they complained that you somehow kind of didn't give people the real skinny on what they were signing on to, suggesting that you guys didn't really weren't involved in full disclosure. That's all bogus. The reality is they just didn't want to take the time for a roll call vote. They claim on one hand that the yays were so much that it didn't make any difference. But the reality is there was a lot of different people that were kind of protesters and other people that were part of the yay yell. And all I'm telling you is why not have accountability and why snub people who want to go by the record? It doesn't make any sense to me. But they say that you guys just were trying to get brownie points for nothing.
Well, this is one of those situations where the issue is over. I mean, Trump is going to be the nominee, but at the same time, you can solve problems in advance if you just do it in a more open way. So not having a vote, I don't think, gained anything by not doing it. But we have to move on from this point.
Agreed. Now, moving on, they want you to believe that the Republican Party is just absolutely divided on every point. Cruz got booed last night. All these things happen. And you believe there's as many divisions as they say there are?
No, I think you find that situation. Every convention is different. Every convention is unique, has its own personality. To me, the essential element here is the fact that Trump picked Mike Pence. With Pence, I think it illustrates that Trump is serious about governing, and he also picks somebody who I think is a very good conservative. I had the chance of working with him, and in fact, it's one of those things I like. The fact that he knows who I am is a plus. But he's a good guy, and I was especially impressed last night when he talked about the Constitution. He also talked about federalism, the brilliance, the diversity that's brought by states, having more power, making more decisions, putting that power back on the people in those areas is far better than having anything done in Washington. That's what's exciting to me, and I think he rounds out some of the questions people may have had about Trump in the first place.
Congressman James Edwards here. I'm co-hosting with Sam, as I do on occasion this morning. It's great to have you, and I appreciated meeting you off the air just a moment ago. I will agree that Mike Pence's speech last night exceeded my expectations. I think that you are seeing the party come together after a highly contentious primary campaign, although the notable lack of an endorsement from Ted Cruz, along with John Kasich being conspicuously absent, certainly has fed the media's narrative that the party is divided to a great extent. Obviously, you just made mention of the fact that you don't believe that that's the case in reality, but I would like to ask you about Utah, a state that went most heavily for Ted Cruz of any of the states that he won in the primary. Do you believe that Utahns will be able to put the Beehive State in Trump's column on election night?
I feel very comfortable that will indeed be the situation. It's going to take a while for people to get comfortable with that, but it is what the alternative is. We do know what I get from Hillary Clinton. That is not acceptable to me, and it would be devastating to the state of Utah or any public land state with the Clinton administration part two and a continuation of what we've had over the last 8 years.
I can appreciate, as a Christian, the concerns that Christians have over morality issues or issues pertaining to morality. And there is probably, in Trump's past, cause to be alarmed there. Although James Dobson made mention of the fact a few weeks ago that he considers it to be a fact now that Trump has become a Christian. Not just a cultural Christian, but in fact a Christ-believing Christian. And I hope that that's true. But certainly, whatever concerns you would have about Donald Trump's morality surely would be outweighed by the morality displayed by Hillary Clinton, or lack thereof.
Both in a, yes, especially, I don't know quite how to say this, especially in the public sphere. I mean, there is a morality that takes place on what you do in policy. And that's clearly lacking.
And one thing that I keep falling back on, and it's something that I've mentioned time and time again with people that I've spoken with here, yes, there is a private morality and there is a public morality, and certainly there's a lot of overlap between the two. But if I could say one thing in Trump's in support of Trump, well, I would say a lot of things in support of Trump. I support Trump on just about every issue that he's run on. The way his family has come out for him so sincerely and so passionately, so authentically,
says something.
Really says something to me as a husband and a father. Watching his sons go out there and put themselves on the line in something as brutal as an American presidential race, and to go out there, and you can see it in their eyes. These weren't props. These weren't staged, managed family members that were going out there to play a part or to be a character. It was very real and genuine, as best as I could tell.
Yeah, and I hope tonight, when he comes up and gives his speech, that more of him as a person will be able to be seen. That's the goal, obviously, for tonight's presentation.
Back with you live, Sam Bushman, James Edwards, working together on this interview of Congressman Rob Bishop for the great state of Utah. I want to move the conversation a little bit before we get to tonight's discussion to Hillary a little bit, because it was mentioned that, you know what, Hillary would be a disaster for Utah, and really disastrous for the nation. We all agree. My question to you, though, and I've talked to several congressmen as I've milled about over the last several days, and senators and different people, you know, there's almost a defeatist attitude Congressman, that concerns me. And that is, I say, you know what? Why don't we have Congress vote to hold Hillary in contempt of Congress? She flat out lied about Benghazi, about emails, about, okay, this is perjury. This is not a joke. She basically should be in contempt of Congress. We should skip the Justice Department. They've compromised themselves by Loretta Lynch meeting with Bill Clinton on the tarmac. I met with Loretta. Okay, this has got to stop. The conflict of interest is evident. Because of this, we ought to have accountability. But I talked to them. They're like, you know what, Sam? It's kind of like the horses left the barn. You know, that's a high bar. You can't. But she needs to be held in contempt. We need to have a grand jury. We need to give them subpoena power. We need to get to the bottom of what the heck's going on and get the truth and have accountability. Now, some people are a little more forcefully stating this than I am. Some are saying that, you know, she's committed treason and that she needs to be facing a firing squad. I'm not ready to go that far. But I do agree that this is serious national security stuff. This is not just a child's play like, oh, golly, she didn't. You know, she didn't tell you that she went to the store. This is like she flat out committed, in my opinion, crimes and misdemeanors that relate to national security, Congressman. Am I overstating this or not fairly representing this?
No, I don't think you're overstating it. If you were asking for impeachment, that's a high bar, which is going to be very impossible to do.
Agreed.
But a sense of Congress has historical precedent. I think it's easier to do. It makes a statement. And what I really hope is, as the details of what has happened in the past and her activities, especially as Secretary of State, as those come out, I hope people realize that that has to be the way they make their vote. The Constitution is very limited on what can and cannot be a qualifying factor, but how people vote should be a much more sophisticated and much deeper reason.
I agree, but at some point, though, there needs to be accountability to Congress. You can't just go perjure yourself before Congress and allow that to stand, sir.
One of the things
you can't do that.
No, and I think you're actually right. One of the things I like about Paul Ryan is I think Paul Ryan gets this very significantly, that what we have done as far as Congress over the last 8 decades is abrogate our responsibility and simply give over with some nebulous legislation, give over power to executive branch agencies. And what he needs to do is what we can do as House unilaterally, because I can't necessarily trust the President and the Senate to help us. We can do unilaterally to bring that authority back to that. And it's not just about authority.
All right, we got a quick pause, Congressman. Will you stay there?
Sure.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby, James Edwards, live for the Republican Convention on your radio. Back in seconds.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items for my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
James Edwards and Sam Bushman in the belly of the beast with Kurt Crosby. We're a top media row live from Cleveland, Ohio, in the Republican convention. And I'm telling you right now, it's been interesting to mill around and see everybody and talk and do things. And there's so much speculation by the Democrats and by the naysayers about what's going to happen at the Republican event. Now, before we get into that, I want to just say Congressman Rob Bishop had to take off. I wanted him to be one of the guys to break down kind of tonight's events, what to expect, etc., and then kind of get into what's going to happen tonight and then kind of the future of the party. Is this going to be a united party now? Are we still going to have the Ted Cruz / John Kasich holding out and creating divisions? The Republicans are desperate, James, is what I want to start out with. They are desperate. I'm sorry, the Democrats are desperate.
Yes, I was wondering.
Wow. All right, the Democrats are desperate to try to find a division, to try to find cracks, to try to find fissures, whatever you want to say. And they've done everything they can from, I mean, even stating, hey, there's a division between those who want Hillary shot and those who want Hillary in prison. I mean, they're crazy. There's no division of that. Have you heard any debate about that at all?
Well, of course, Sam, with the media, you're not going to have very much of a debate. You're going to have a lecture, and you're going to be told how you're supposed to think.
It's dishonest. But there's been no division there. And then they say, well, there's a division between Ted Cruz and everybody. Look, Ted Cruz did not endorse. He has that right. Kasich isn't here. He has that right. But flat out, though, you know what? Cruz spoke last night and said, vote for the constitutional candidate that you feel best up and down the ticket. And then Newt Gingrich said what he means is you got to pick Trump, not Hillary, if you want any chance of constitutionality.
If you can even come close to considering that an endorsement, I would say it's the most tenuous endorsement he could have given. I thought Ted Cruz was out of line.
I thought he was out of line, too. But I also think, though, that that's not an incredible division in the party, though. It's one guy.
Well, I think we're seeing sour grapes on the part of Ted Cruz and John Kasich. A lot of Trump's other vanquished foes, Chris Christie, Ben Carson, who we've bumped into a couple of times while we've been here.
Even Rand Paul's not being negative.
He's pretty much taken himself out of the equation, but a lot of the other ones have fallen in line. Mike Pence endorsed Ted Cruz, and he conformed right in on the Trump narrative last night, and
great
I thought
point.
Did a good job.
So I think Ted Cruz was out of line. I think that when you get invited, you got to have some kind of an appropriate working together idea. You basically snub the olive branch, if you will. It's a serious problem. But the question becomes, what's going to happen tonight? Is Trump going to hit it out of the park? Are some of the leading up speakers going to do it? Are they going to show a united front? Will there be a snafu? Do you expect any violence? Well, what's kind of your breakdown of what you think, one, tonight will be, and then, two, what's the party going to look like as they try to mount their real focus against, or I should say, with relation to Hillary? Debates-wise, right on down the list, sir.
Great, great question, Sam. I would say this, just to wrap up on Ted Cruz. You don't come to Trump's convention and do what he did. And I'm not really sure what he was trying to get at in his speech, although I thought he opened it up very well with giving an ode to the daughter of one of the police officers who was murdered in Dallas. So that was fine. I felt good about that. And then it went on and not much. And then he absolutely should have endorsed. He was given a prime time slot at this convention. That's certainly an olive branch on the behalf of Donald Trump. And it was a very hot primary, obviously. But at this point, look at what the alternative is. It's Hillary Clinton. And that is a nightmare from which we may never recover. People always say this is the greatest election in the history of our lifetime. This is the most important election. They may suspend elections after this. America will never be able to go back after this. Well, I think it may actually be true this time. And so where the Republican Party goes from here, what happens tonight, Donald Trump's going to hit it out of the park. It's going to be a grand slam home run. It will be, I believe, a speech given by a nominee the likes of which will never be forgotten. That's what I expect, because he is a showman, but he is running on issues worthy of the pomp and circumstance. The Republican Party is changing. Where we go from here after tonight, after the home run, I think Trump gets a bump in the polls. I was talking about this yesterday with a lot of guests that I was taping for my program. I think he will get a bump in the polls. I'm a little bit surprised it hasn't happened yet, because the contrast between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton is so incredible that for him to be still at a tie, ahead by a couple of points, one poll behind by a couple of points in another poll, I really didn't expect even at this point. But leaving here, I don't think obviously the Republican Party is fractured as the media is trying to play up. The media, of course, is going to be anti-Trump, as they've always been, and they've even used me as a wedge in a ridiculous capacity to try to hurt Trump. And they're just disgusting, sniveling little worms, mouthpieces. The Republican Party, though, this is the important part. The Republican Party is transitioning into a party worthy of the support of the American people at large, not the special interests, not the foreign interests, but Donald Trump is bringing in the populists. He's bringing in people who want to put America first. As everyone knows, I got my start volunteering for Pat Buchanan in 2000. That's how this political odyssey for yours truly got kicked off. And from there, my own campaign for state representative in 2002. And then I started my radio program in 2004. And the rest is history. 12 years later, here we are. A lot of the things that Pat Buchanan was obviously running on, Trump is running on. It is what's right for America. It will help us reclaim America's destiny. Trump's positions on immigration, trade, foreign policy, his complete and utter disdain, which has been so well deserved by the media, his contempt for political correctness. These are things that galvanize the people who made America great to begin with, the hard working class men and women of middle America. We ran into Dick Morris. Well, we've run into everybody here. Look, we're at the center of the political universe, as I've said. We have run into everybody. Everybody who's anybody is here. And Roger Stone, as I'm talking, Roger Stone just walked by a few minutes ago when we were in break, Ann Coulter. So it's all happening right here. But Dick Morris said in the previous election cycle, Romney versus Obama, that the reason Romney lost, this was a postmortem after Election Day in 2012, the reason Romney lost was not because Barack Obama won the black vote or won the women vote or any of these other groups that the Democrats usually carry. And I think Trump will be more competitive with minorities and with women than some of the previous Republicans, and I think that's a great thing. But he said the reason, Obama obviously got 95%+ of the African-American vote. So I don't think Trump's going to do worse than that. But the reason, Dick Morris said, that Mitt Romney lost was that whites did not go out and vote. White people did not go out and vote for Mitt Romney. And I can't blame them, because Mitt Romney and John McCain and the Republican Party for many, many, many years now has done nothing for the white working class. He said, oh, my gosh, that is racist that you would even suggest that whites ought to have concessions and ought to have their interests safeguarded as well. Well, would you say that for blacks? Would you say that for Hispanics? Would you say that for Jewish individuals? That you know, candidates need to be doing something that will help everyone, including European Americans. And I will tell you this, though, that's not going to be a problem for Donald Trump. If Mitt Romney lost because the white working class stayed at home, Donald Trump will not have that problem. And so this is what we're saying. his prescriptions are what's right for all Americans, and I don't count illegal aliens as Americans. And it will be good for the founding stock, who still represent a majority, and as that majority ought to have a voice in politics as well. Not an implicit voice, but an explicit voice. And so for that reason, I am voting for a Republican presidential nominee for the first time in my life. I've voted in the primaries before, voted for Ron Paul, but in the general election, every year of my life, I voted for Buchanan, I voted for Chuck Baldwin, I voted for Michael Perutka. And so I've always voted conservative third party. I am voting Donald Trump, and I'm not doing it holding my nose as so many people have done for so many years with these Republican candidates. In fact, that was something that was said yesterday. I've got it written down here. I'll paraphrase now, but the RNC chairman said yesterday via the Huffington Post that since our plans to elect someone, talking about Romney and McCain, haven't been working, let's give Trump a shot. Well, I think that's a good idea. And the people think it's a good idea, too, because for a man with no political experience to descend from an escalator a little over a year ago, and in a time frame of about 13 months, become the nominee of the Republican Party for President of the United States is an historic achievement that I think we still, because it's all still happening and occurring and playing out in front of us, that we haven't really been able to comprehend. And I know the whole narrative, this false narrative by the media, that he's playing to people's fears. That's all madness. That's all madness. They wouldn't say that about anybody that was doing that for any other ethnic group. And I don't think Trump is doing it specifically for whites. I think his prescriptions will be right, again, as I say, for all Americans. This represents a shift in the Republican Party that I've not seen in my lifetime. And I'll be voting proudly for a Republican on November the 8th, and I can't get there quickly enough. It'll be interesting to see what happens over the course of the next couple of months as this campaign goes into the debates stage with Trump and Clinton going mano a mano. No offense to the feminists out there, but I look forward to it, and it's going to be great. It's going to be a show the likes of which you would pay admission for. Political theater at its best. We'll be back with the second hour of Liberty Roundtable right after this.